Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to Connecting Faith. Thanks so much for tuning in. Once again, I'm Neil Stavem, along with Ted Ross, and we're looking forward to a good hour ahead. Ted, this past Sunday, the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, it's the third Sunday in January.
Yeah.
An important time.
It is. It comes up every year, of course, yeah. And it's an interesting timing starting a new year, thinking about new life.
Yeah, you're right. This Friday, of course, is the anniversary of that the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision, which legalized abortion on demand. And so we're going to talk about that today, but talk about a wonderful outreach that's having a significant difference, and it's through online ministries called Online for Life. And we're going to hear from our guest today, one a businessman, another one who was a pastor who just felt like they needed to do something about this.
Yeah, and I'd like to direct listeners to the website right off the bat, myfaithradio.com, the Connecting Faith show page under programs. You can link up to their website for a new app there and much more information.
That's right. They've got a great new resource we'll tell you about in today's program. So we're looking forward to getting started with it.
Yes, it's an important topic that we do need to address.
The question I'm going to ask our guests this morning comes from R.C. Sproul. I'm going to get their reaction to the statement. R.C. Sproul, great theologian, said, "You cannot overreact to this problem." Think about that. You cannot overreact to this problem. He said, "This is the most significant, most serious, most dreadful reality, in my judgment, in the history of the world." I want to get some reaction to that statement. Let me introduce our guest today in the broadcast. Brian Fisher is an author and speaker and business executive. He has a passion for saving unborn children and their families from abortion. He took an unlikely path to his position as co-founder and president of Online for Life. He's a businessman and started out as a volunteer nonprofit on the side, Online for Life, to start realizing the dream of using compassion, truth, and business applications to rescue babies. We're going to hear more about that story in a little bit. Jeff Bradford, also on the line, is vice president of Online for Life. He's a seasoned leader with almost 20 years of experience in owning and operating businesses. And so, gentlemen, Brian and Jeff, first of all, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Glad to be here.
I want to get your stories a little bit, but let's start with the reaction to R.C. Sproul's statement. You cannot overreact to this problem.
Well, I'm not sure we could point to anything in world history that has wrought the death and destruction that abortion has here in America. We've lost 56 million lives to abortion since 1973. That's one child roughly every 25 seconds. So when we think of some tragedy such as 9/11 that still years later evokes emotions of sadness and anger and even depression, and we lost almost 3,000 souls on 9/11, we need to recalibrate a little bit and recognize that we lose more children to abortion in America every day than we lost on 9/11. So the sheer volume of death makes it the greatest Holocaust in certainly United States history and arguably around the world. And so I think Sproul was exactly correct. You cannot find another disease, another war, another social condition that has wrought the amount of death and destruction that abortion has.
And yet, I don't know, and Jeff, I know you maybe just want to react to that, but it does seem like it doesn't make front page news, certainly. I mean, and I guess that's probably perhaps by design by an industry that doesn't want to deal with this.
Well, unfortunately, so many people, as you mentioned, Neil, that this isn't even in the forefront of their mind. This is not something they think about. And in fact, you know, I'll share with my story here in just a bit. But you know, for 17 years, I didn't even think about what abortion was. And I think so many people go through their day not even realizing what is going on. And that certainly was me until God opened my eyes and really saw what abortion was truly, that I could not believe as men, as Americans, as Christians, that we were not doing something about this on a mass scale. And there's just too much underreaction today.
Well, guys, maybe just take a moment to tell your story, and Jeff will let you kind of just pick up on that. Brian Fisher and Jeff Bradford, they're with Online for Life, and I know I've heard you on with Kim Cattola on that wonderful program of ours called Cradle My Heart, but tell us, Jeff, just how this issue became real to you.
Well, it was during a time that I got to know Brian Fisher, and it was really, I was a business owner for 17 years, and like many men and women who are building their business and their families, I had my head down working 60, 80 hours a week trying to build a business and start a family. And this was, you know, my wife and I were helping start a church. I was basically the lay pastor. My wife was a worship leader. We were leading home teams and leading church. And yet there was this deep, dark secret that I never told anyone. I in fact, only told one person, I guess, and that was my best friend from high school. That was the fact that my wife and I, got engaged to be married. We had about 4 months, 5 months left to go to the wedding day, and we found out we were pregnant. And before you know it, having counseling with family and each other, we wound up at Planned Parenthood. And before you knew it, we had aborted our first child. And we went on to the wedding, and really for 17 years, we'd talk about it. I talked about it with one friend, and it was one of those things that unconsciously and because of the shame, it's not talked about. And in our church, no one spoke about abortion, so it really wasn't even on our radar. And it wasn't until Brian handed me his Online for Life card, and he said, hey, we're a group of volunteer C-level executives helping save babies using the Internet. And I took his card home that night and just kind of put it down where I plug in my phone every night and just shook my head and said, Lord, what are you doing? What Brian didn't know at the time was my wife and I were in counseling. And, you know, we had gone through some tough times with the church and was transitioning with the business and just life. And so we were in Christian counseling. And as I shut the door to that, my wife would begin to cry uncontrollably. And I thought, gosh, our marriage is in a lot worse shape than I thought. What's really going on here? And as we unpeeled that onion, it really came down to this one issue of abortion that for, at that time, you know, 16 years of marriage, we had never talked about this. And the deep depression and really abandonment that she had felt and not being fought for our child or her, these things were just deep-seated emotions that were never talked about. And so many, many people in the church and outside of the church struggle with this deep depression and issues of killing our children, unfortunately. And it was something that we had to deal with. And it really was the time that Online for Life came about that God began to drop the scales from my eyes and began to see truly what abortion is. And as Brian points out in his book and his story of what it was, that we have to begin to do something about this in America. And this can be ended. Like slavery, we can end abortion, and we believe God's called us to be a part of that in a significant way.
Brian, we're going to talk more with Jeff as we go along as well, and find out, you know, how can we, in fact, do just that, end abortion. Brian, a little bit about your story. You were a businessman as well, and how did this idea of Online for Life become important to you?
Well, I grew up in the church, great Christian home, and my personal background is fairly boring. And when I was in college, I saw a beautiful young lady across the room and ended up marrying her, and in 1999, we were sitting in a delivery room in a hospital in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I was holding my firstborn child, son, in my arms. And honestly, I had never really confronted what abortion was. It wasn't part of my background. I don't recall anybody in my circle of friends or family ever talking about it or certainly sharing any experiences about it. And so I think the emotional connection of holding my own son in my arms for the first time it flipped a little bit of a switch in my brain. I remember thinking in that room, we abort him. We Americans kill these innocent tiny babies that have no voices and no defense. And so that moment in 1999 started a very slow but progressive educational experience where I began to understand not only what the abortion procedures are, but also the impact that it has had on the American family. So in 2007, I was running a large nonprofit in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and a friend of mine who I had hired to be in the marketing department came in and said, "Do you know that there are over 2 million internet searches a month in the United States for abortion terms?" Meaning 2 million times every month in the United States, somebody goes on to Google or Yahoo and types in a phrase such as abortion clinic or abortion with a pill or abortion with a coat hanger or whatnot, that there's an enormous amount of activity online from people who are at this moment looking for abortions. And so in 2007, we decided to test this idea. We went online and to see if we could reach that large body of people, mainly females, who are looking for abortion providers, and instead connect them with their local pro-life pregnancy center. A pro-life pregnancy center is a community-based group, usually faith-based, whose mission is to rescue families from abortion. And that idea took off. In 2007, when we tested it, it was successful. In 2009, after I'd moved to Dallas, I started Online for Life as a side venture. And on June 22nd, 2010, the very first baby from Online for Life was rescued from abortion. And when I got that call, I got off the phone and I just broke down and I wept, because when you have the privilege of participating in the process of saving a human being from death, it is emotionally overcoming. And really in that moment, God called me to this work full time. And it took a few years, but today Online for Life is one of the largest pro-life organizations in the country. And by God's grace, we've rescued just shy of 2,600 children from abortion cooperatively all over the country.
Amazing, amazing story. And you want to discover more about it. And we'll talk more about it in the moments ahead as we hear more from Brian Fisher and Jeff Bradford. Brian's the co-founder and president of Online for Life. Jeff Bradford, vice president of Online for Life. And we've got a great conversation yet to come. Encourage you to stay tuned as we talk more on Connecting Faith.
We're back now to the best of Connecting Faith on Faith Radio. This is a previously aired encore presentation.
You're listening to Connecting Faith, and today we're focusing on one of the greatest scourges in our nation's history, perhaps. Thankful for the great work of Brian Fisher and Jeff Bradford. They're with Online for Life. Brian's co-founder and president of Online for Life. Jeff, vice president of that ministry. We've heard both their stories the past few minutes. By the way, Online for Life, is it onlineforlife.org?
Yes.
All right. So I want to just encourage people to check that out and make sure that it's a website that you can refer someone to. You can go there yourself, perhaps, if you have some questions. Maybe there's ways that you can volunteer and join in and help and support. So, guys, let's talk about it. Are we really living in a culture of death today? I mean, that seems sort of foreign, but based on the numbers of babies that are lost each day, that it's pretty sobering.
Well, we are living in a culture of death, although it's masked by a lot of fancy marketing and mythology and deception. The abortion issue is really a sign of America's spiritual condition. I mean, when you think about 1.2 million parents every year electing to kill their own child, and that is the leading cause of death in America, we live unquestionably in a culture of death. But we hear on the news and we read in the media that really what abortion is about reproductive rights. It's about women's freedom. It's about the right to choose. The abortion industry has trumped up this Holocaust in very patriotic, freedom-loving terms, and their marketing campaign over the last 40, 50 years has been extremely successful. So it is a culture of death, but it is hidden amidst a cloud of mythology and deception. And part of the mission of Online for Life, although most of our work is directed at rescuing the child and the family from abortion through our cooperative work with pregnancy centers, is still to unveil
that mythology and those deceptions so that the church and other folks who are on the fence about the abortion holocaust really come to understand that life begins at conception, that is a medical fact, and that there is no moral or ethical foundation for devaluing life in the womb where we can arbitrarily kill little children. And, you know, to that end, Online for Life and many other pro-life organizations have made great gains. And that's why Jeff and I and the 63 other people in Online for Life all firmly believe that we will see abortion ended in our lifetimes. The momentum is all in favor of those who love life and understand that it should be protected.
Go ahead.
And, Neil, you know, I want to also, you know, emphasize the fact that there's very, very few women or parents with, when confronted with the fact that they have a child, that they really want to kill their child. That is not their motive. And so many of us stagger to death that we lead our women and children into this, not really understanding the consequences of what is going on because of the marketing, because of, you know, these things that Brian had just spoke about. But the encouraging thing is that when we can reach these women, when we can stand in the gap and be a part of the solution, they don't want to abort their child. They many times just feel like there's no other choice, that they don't have support, that they don't have help, or they're being coerced in such a manner that, you know, they feel trapped and they don't feel like anyone is there for them. And so the exciting opportunity that we have at Online for Life and everybody listening to this call today is to begin to be the person of change, to be the people that stand in the gap and love, because it is going to be through that that we change the nation and that the way that we're going to end abortion. And I would submit to you that men need to stand up, rise up, and protect their women and children the way that God created us to be. And when we don't follow that path, there's huge destruction and devastation, both for men and for women, and obviously for the child.
Jeff, let me follow up on that, because you mentioned, as you shared a bit about your story, that you know, your wife, you know, one of the issues that she was harboring was that she felt like, you know, she was not fought for, and the life of her child is not fought for. That's an interesting phrase. Talk about, what does it mean for men to step up today? I mean, obviously, one of the other major concerns is the out of wedlock births that are just skyrocketing in our nation. But say a word about what men need to understand.
Well, I don't know if you ever read one of the a book I read about 10 or 15 years ago, I guess, was John Eldridge's book, Wild at Heart. I don't know if you remember that book,
sure.
But there was a couple of word pictures in there that made a huge impact on my life. If you look at every little girl, what does she want? She wants to dress up and be beautiful. And she wants to, you know, get up on the stage and twirl around in a pretty dress, and for her daddy to say, "You are beautiful in my eyes," and she wants to be fought for. Every little boy wants to be that knight in shining armor. You know, they want to be the soldier, they want to be the doctor, the fireman, and they want to rescue the girl. And yet, you know, as men, we grow up, we want to be that knight shining armor, but we're not really willing to do the hard things. We're not always willing to fight for the things that we love the most. And so the call really is for men to pursue women in a way that is noble. And when we don't do that, that leads to abortion. And we live in a society where sexual promiscuity is so high and almost accepted. I mean, we can't even watch a football game without the commercials and with your family of just high sexual, you know, language and everything that we see in our society. So it is a battle. And as Brian mentioned, it is a spiritual battle that we as men have to fight for. And as the church, we have to begin to prepare our young men and women for this battle.
Brian, you're talking a little bit about the marketing that goes on. It, I guess it maybe didn't surprise me, but sort of saddened me to see, as you share in your book, Deliver Us from Abortion, you just share some numbers in terms of the disparity of prices. Pregnancy centers, you know, maybe $100,000 budget versus $1 million for Planned Parenthood, and the Guttmacher Institute at $14 million. I mean, it's just it really is kind of a David and Goliath sort of situation, isn't it?
Monetarily, it certainly is. You know, there's some 2,500, maybe 3,000 pro-life pregnancy centers all across the country. Every major city has at least one. And, you know, it depends on the count, but there's roughly maybe 750 to 800 abortion clinics across the country. So in terms of physical locations designed to save the child, there are 2 to 3 times as many as those locations that kill children. And yet, the money and the power and the media are firmly entrenched in the pro-abortion side. Planned Parenthood, which, of course, is the largest abortion provider in the country, they have $1 billion annual budget, and half of those dollars come from us, the taxpayers, through the federal government. So when you have the United States government in bed and in league with the country's largest abortion provider, that's most certainly a David and Goliath situation, except that we serve a creator God. And, you know, when you look at the David and Goliath battle, there have been those that have argued that David actually had the upper hand because of his specific skill set and because of his training. And I think the same thing is true for those that love life and want to see abortion ended. We already have the tools and the expertise and the knowledge to end abortion. The key is really coordination, strategy, and as Jeff brilliantly mentioned, courage. The pro-life movement has primarily been led by women for the last 40 years, and men have, by and large, sat on the sidelines. Part of the reason is that the federal government has told us that is our role. Roe v. Wade effectively said men are no longer parents until birth. Women are parents from conception. Men aren't parents until birth. And so we sit aside, and much like Adam and his curse, we watch why women go through the very difficult circumstances of an unplanned pregnancy and the circumstances of an abortion. But if men begin to rise up, and they are, and if we begin to approach this winsomely and compassionately, which the pro-life movement is, we will continue to see that David and Goliath battle shift. Because in the court of public opinion, the pro-life movement is making huge gains, and laws follow culture. So as the culture changes and continues to love life and protect life, the laws that we all hate that make abortion so readily available will be turned around. And, you know, Jeff and I do firmly believe that this is only a matter of one generation, but it is a process of expressing that courage, funding it properly, and being very careful to approach the issue and with people with that mix of grace and candor.
We're going to talk more about that, the strategy with courage, grace, and candor, as we hear from Brian Fisher and Jeff Bradford. They're the leaders at Online for Life. You find out more about them onlineforlife.org. And in a moment, we'll talk more about how the church maybe reflects the views of the culture. We want to talk about the black communities and biblical passages and go on from there. We'll talk more in just a moment as we continue here on Connecting Faith.
Thanks for being with us for this encore presentation of the best of Connecting Faith. We're back with more in just a moment. Welcome back to an encore presentation of the best of Connecting Faith on Faith Radio. This is a previously aired program.
You're listening to Connecting Faith, and today we've connected with Brian Fisher and Jeff Bradford. Brian is the co-founder and president of Online for Life. Jeff is the vice president of that amazing organization that is seeking to connect with some of those that are searching online for abortion issues. Some 2 million hits a month. Amazing. And Jeff and Brian and their team are standing in the gap in a powerful way. And we want to hear more about Online for Life and their specific work. We want to talk maybe first, guys, a little bit about maybe where the church has been. I know, Brian, you address it a little bit in your book, Deliver Us from Abortion, that the church has not necessarily been vocal about this, even though obviously the polls would suggest that the vast majority don't support abortion as a means of birth control or whatever.
Yeah, there's an enormous amount of discontinuity between doctrine and practice in a number of churches across the country. Although it's interesting, as part of writing the book, we did some research on the beliefs, the statement of beliefs of various churches. Obviously, in America, it's roughly 65 million Catholics, and there's roughly the same amount of Protestants. The Catholic Church, of course, is completely pro-life doctrinally, although, you know, they often bemoan the fact that that isn't always practiced at the parish level. In the Protestant Church, it's really fascinating. We took a look at the top largest Protestant denominations in the country, and we went and we called them, and we looked at their websites, and we looked at their books to identify their doctrinal position on abortion. And of those 28 largest Protestant denominations, we discovered that only 12 of them are actually pro-life. And so much of where this silence and this acceptance of abortion starts in the Protestant church is because the churches don't legitimately believe in the sacredness of human life, the majority of Protestant churches. And so we really need to start there. We need to start by looking at our denominations and in our groups of churches saying, well, what do we actually believe about God being the author of all life and the value of life in the womb? Because our worldviews obviously stretch from our beliefs, and so we have to look at that piece first. Then we have to investigate whether or not we as Christians and as churches are taking Scripture to heart. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, "Deliver those who are being taken away to death and those who are staggering to slaughter. Oh, hold them back." I'm not sure if there's a more powerfully applied verse when talking about the abortion epidemic. And so a primary role of the church is social justice and protecting those who are weak and innocent. And you can find no greater example than the unborn. So if those who are both Protestant and Catholic were to take a look at their doctrinal positions first and in their own hearts determine what they believe according to Scripture, then we must act. We really don't have an option because Scripture is extraordinarily clear. But we have to take the time to reconcile those two things. And so the Protestant Church in particular, which has 40 years of, on the whole, silence about abortion, really has to do a gut check and go to Scripture first and then to make sure that we're aligning in our lives with what Scripture actually says.
Jeff, you were pastoring a lay pastor for a while, starting a church. I'm wondering what would you say to encourage pastors? I mean, there may be some that this past Sunday, a Human Life Sunday, but you know, maybe that's the only time this issue is mentioned at all. What would you say? How would you encourage a pastor today?
Well, that's a great question. On a couple of things. I mean, one would be that for them to recognize that there are many, many women and men sitting in their congregation. Similar to my wife and I, for years and years and years, were too ashamed to talk about it to anyone, and yet we were suffering in silence and not even understanding the devastation that it was causing in our own hearts. They have an obligation to reach out and help them heal from this. Secondly, I think we need to recognize this is not a political issue. This is a spiritual issue. I think the culture has tried to politicize this. This is very specifically a spiritual issue, as Brian had mentioned earlier, and therefore they must address it. And those two facts are probably, the most important reasons that they need to do that. And as Brian mentioned in his book, and as he writes so articulately, the Scriptures are clear that as the church, and the church, we need the church. We need the church to awaken and begin to educate and open the eyes of their congregations across the country if we're going to end abortion, because it is a cultural and spiritual issue that I believe the pastors have to get involved in. And I think many are scared. Many have probably been complicit in their own abortions or been a part of that, or they don't want to offend someone. I think we live in a culture where many churches are seeker-friendly, and they think this is going to offend someone or somebody is going to be hurt. But let me just say this, and Brian says this all the time and reminds us, and it's a clear reminder for me and my wife, that this sin is no greater than the cross, that Christ came to forgive us and there's redemption in this, and there is forgiveness. And if there is a man or woman that's on the call today that is suffering from this, I just want to assure you that this sin is no greater than the cross, and Christ came to forgive us of this sin as well as any sin. It is one that, if you've been a part of it, for me anyway, the pain never quite goes away when I speak about this. My wife, we're in, Sean Martin, the pastors on staff here that runs our church outreach division, Multiply Life, spoke at a service yesterday, and we showed one of the videos that Online for Life produced about a woman named Jennifer. And my wife, she wept. And and it was a beautiful story of her choosing life. And there are many people there that didn't. And we need to remind them that they're forgiven. And yet it's still painful. And so I do want to encourage those men and women on the call today that you are forgiven and you're loved, and that, you know, that you will be your child again one day in heaven.
Talking today with Jeff Bradford and Brian Fisher from Online for Life. Brian, as Jeff has just talked about, you know, there's sometimes we feel like we don't want to offend. We've addressed the issues of, you know, it's going to take courage, but grace. So how can we graceful? I mean, you were just, you know, both of you guys kind of just, you know, I guess, you know, by the bio, you say, well, just kind of regular guys are involved in church and ministry, but not, you know, really pursuing this as a passionate issue. So how can we take up the battle to be courageous, but to be graceful and not necessarily offending?
Well, stories are one of the most important things that we can share. I mean, you can hear from the emotion and the passion in Jeff's voice, not only the pain, but also the grace. And every time that Jeff shares his story in public, and I've heard his story hundreds of times now, people are moved. People are moved to share their stories. The silence about abortion can best be broken by men and women who courageously say, this was a decision I made and I shouldn't have, and recognize that they have the power through their stories to save children from abortion and families from the pain and the destruction that abortion brings. And men in particular, I think, have a powerful role. I said in a previous book that I think that the most powerful catalyst for ending abortion is post-abortive men sharing their stories and encouraging other men not only to be sexually pure, but to protect their unborn children by whatever means that they can. Also, post-abortive women having an increased voice can only help. There's a great site that we built several years ago. It's called abortionmemorial.com, www.abortionmemorial.com. And there are several hundred stories from men and women, all who have had abortions in their past, sharing in very transparent, visceral ways their experience. And we have seen babies saved from just that piece. So sharing stories, that's probably the most powerful way. The second way, for men in particular, is we are wired to protect and defend. And although modern feminism would have us think otherwise, that is one of our primary roles as folks with X and Y chromosomes. That's the way God has wired us. And so as men become more and more involved using their business skills and their backgrounds and their strengths and their conviction and their voice and partner with women, we will see an acceleration. And that can happen in a number of different ways. I mean, we have lots of men on staff here who use their giftings in a lot of different ways, and we have a ton of volunteers. I was just with the guy on Sunday who comes in once a week to his local pregnancy center, and he counsels other fathers who are considering abortion. That is tough work. It is thankless work. You get a lot of ridicule. You have a lot of vitriol thrown at you, and yet every week, that's what he does. He comes in and volunteers his time. But I can't tell you how powerful that is and how many babies and families he's rescuing from abortion. So as we pray through it, God will give us direct callings in terms of what to do. But the point is to do something. We have to stand up and get involved. And by God's grace, we are seeing more and more men doing just that.
Well, maybe this would be a good time just to say a word about Online for Life. I mean, you just sort of introduced it at the beginning, but what do you actually do and how does it work?
Well, it's been a fascinating journey, and it's turned out a lot differently than what Jeff and I originally thought, but we do most of our work online. We partner with pro-life pregnancy centers across the country, and we come into their cities, and we use our internet marketing team to reach women who are looking for abortions. So as they go online searching for abortion clinic, if we've done our job, we are getting first mind share of what they're viewing. And when they call, we have a call center here in the Dallas area, and we take calls from all over the country from women who are considering abortion, and we use that phone call to set appointments back at their local pregnancy center. And then we walk with them through that process. As Jeff mentioned, the way to end abortion in a crisis situation is not to throw fancy language or, you know, cast hate. It is to extend compassion and grace and tangible help. And so the pregnancy centers extend that, and then our goal is to get them plugged into a local church. Last year, Online for Life took over two of its own pregnancy centers. So we have our marketing team and we have the call center. And although we work with 30 centers nationwide, we now own two of our own. And those two pregnancy centers are now the best in the country at rescuing children from abortion. And so we've basically constructed a complete client care cycle from the internet all the way through their tangible needs to save the child. And what we're seeing is an acceleration in the number of babies and families that are being rescued from abortion. It's basically a business principle applied to a social, spiritual holocaust, and by God's grace, and it is only by His grace, it continues to work phenomenally well.
I'm hoping that even some that are listening today that maybe have a set of business skills or have never really gotten involved in this particular spiritual issue could say, you know, maybe there's a way that I could use my gifting to take this on, or at least to advance the pro-life cause. We're talking about Online for Life. It's onlineforlife.org. Brian Fisher and Jeff Bradford, the co-founder, the president and vice president, with us today. We're going to talk more in just a moment and give you some more encouragement today on Connecting Faith. Stay tuned.
Back now to the best of Connecting Faith on Faith Radio. This is a previously aired encore presentation.
You're listening to Connecting Faith, and so appreciate the opportunity we've had today to just hear how God is using an amazing tool through technology, Online for Life. Brian Fisher, the co-founder and president of Online for Life. Jeff Bradford, vice president of Online for Life. You know, we haven't talked about how this truly is a cultural issue, but there's one sort of segment of our culture that seems particularly disproportionately impacted by abortion. That's the urban black community. Guys, talk a little bit about what that's doing to our nation.
Well, the history of abortion in America is deeply tied to racism. Margaret Sanger, who is really the only female character in the abortion history, everybody else was male, was a profoundly evil woman and an overt racist. And one of her visions was to, in her words, weed out lesser races, which in her world was predominantly African American. She, of course, is the founder of Planned Parenthood. So Planned Parenthood's almost 100-year history is steeped in trying to find creative ways to eradicate African Americans from our country. And so they've been very successful. Unfortunately, the African American race has been just decimated by abortion, and they are specifically targeted. Over 75% of abortion clinics are located in low-income minority areas across the country today, and although African Americans make up just about 13.5% of the United States population, they account for almost 35% of abortions. And so when we talk about abortion, we need to confront what it is. It is an agenda of a white supremacist group who are deceiving minority communities into killing themselves off. And until we confront that as a church and realize that abortion is the primary mechanism of racism in our country today, we are doing an enormous disservice to our brothers and sisters of minority races in this country.
For abortion to end in America or to be seriously reduced, talk about the steps. What needs to happen? We've talked about how to engage, how to be involved, but is it going to be through medical technology. I mean, it's so clear now. We see development in the womb in just amazing detail. Is it political? What's it going to take?
Well, I'll let Jeff on the way in on this as well, but it takes the church. I mean, the primary vehicle for ending abortion in America is the church. Jeff and I are with Rick Santorum, and he gave a speech, and he said very clearly in his speech, do not rely on the government to fix your problems. The government is reactionary, not proactionary, meaning the government follows the culture also. As hard as it is to accept, Roe v. Wade was passed because of 150 years of Enlightenment thinking, and it was a logical conclusion to the way the American culture was going. The primary institution for being salt and a transformative agent in the culture is the church, and that's why Online for Life has a division entirely dedicated to serving and working with the church. As cool as our technology is, and we have a pro-life prayer app where people can intercede for people that at this moment are considering abortion, and as great as our work is and as many children as we're helping to save, until the church chooses to become the transformative agent in this culture, we will not see it ended. The flip side of that is those churches that have taken up that mantle are phenomenally effective, and I think Jeff probably has a story or two about how we're seeing the church impact the culture, so I'll turn it over to him.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Brian, and you know, I think the image that haunts me, and I think it was Metaxas's book on Bonhoeffer that talked about the Jewish Holocaust and how the trains would go by on every Sunday morning, and the screams would come from the trains of the Jewish families being led away to death and staggering to slaughter. And yet the church sang louder and louder to drown out those screams. And I think that is exactly what's happening, as Brian mentioned, in many, many churches, far too many across the country that haven't awoken their eyes to this Holocaust and begin to really understand what's going on. And I think for us as men, I do believe that men also have to be a part of the solution and have to wake up and have to rise up to help in this Holocaust. And I do believe that's what God has called us specifically to do. It's why we walked out of our for-profit work. This wasn't something that, you know, the three of us that kind of started in the very beginning wanted to do. Many days it's not what we want to do, and yet we're called to do it. And Christ paid a huge price for us on the cross, and we were all bought with a price. And so we lay down our lives in order to do this work, and we encourage and call other men to join us to do that. And in that, we need other pastors and pastor leaders to do the same. And there are some phenomenal men of God who are a part of this fight that are getting into this with us. And we believe together we can do that. We also have to change one heart and mind at a time. You know, it's the same as the gospel. We have to save and lead people to Christ. We also are called to rescue those who are at risk every day. As Brian mentioned, 3,500 every day. If this was a school that was being blown up every day, I guarantee you the men and the pastors would be in arms and rise up and stop it. We would not allow this. But because it's inside the womb, because it's we go on in our days, we go to work, as I did, and I am the chief sinner, so I can say it. I closed my eyes and I put my head under the rug and I ignored this for years and years, and many of us do. But it's time, I believe, for us in the church and leaders and men and the women to rise up together and end this once and for all. And it is possible. We have to do it on many fronts. It's, you know, and I believe in the youth of this nation. You know, you ask any elementary school child that's not been politicized in this issue, no one would ever imagine killing the little baby in mommy's tummy. It's unfathomable to a child. And the youth is becoming more and more pro-life. They're seeing the images that you mentioned, Neil, that this is a life. This is not a blob of tissue. We can't believe the lies anymore, the marketing. This is a child, and we're called to protect them. And so I believe our nation is a good nation. And when given the facts and given the opportunity and doing it in a way that's effective as Online for Life, you know, we believe we have to do our part to do what we do with excellence. And let God rescue, but we are called to do it well and do it in excellence to glorify His word. I'll stop there.
Guys, is there a place maybe where the, you know, at the front line, or is there an aspect of this standing for life that's maybe most effective? You know, or just thinking, maybe someone's at, where do I put my effort? I've been complacent. I've disengaged or ignorant, but I want to start. Where's the start?
Well, let me give just two suggestions, and I appreciate the question, because that is the question each of us needs to ask our own heart. The first step is to get educated, and this sounds like a selfless plug, but I would go to deliverusfromabortion.com, get the book. You know, there are ways to get a free ebook, and read about not only what abortion is, but about what the church is doing and isn't doing. That really is step number one. An immediate step number two is prayer. ProLifeApp.com. ProLifeApp.com has a free smartphone app that Online for Life developed for both iPhone and Android. And it is, in my mind, the most revolutionary technology application in the history of the pro-life movement. And the reason is, every time that we get a phone call or a chat from a woman who is at risk to abort in our offices here from all across the country, an immediate prayer request is sent out to everybody that has the app on their phone. And you are notified that there is somebody that is right at this moment considering abortion, and you have the opportunity to intercede in prayer for that woman or that man right now, and you swipe the fact that you've prayed it on the app, and then it will track your prayers. The app tells you how many children you have helped to rescue from abortion. It is really an amazing application of technology, and because abortion, as Jeff said, is primarily a spiritual issue, our primary tools are spiritual. And so our goal, and this is a crazy goal, but our goal is to have 50,000 people across the country praying on that app, because we believe when you get 50,000 people praying for an unborn child, you have a phenomenal opportunity to save that child's life. And the app basically rewards every user by keeping account of how many children are alive today because of the time they spent in prayer. So I encourage everybody listening to the sound of our voices, go to ProLifeApp.com, download the free app, get started on it, get on that app every day and pray, and help us end abortion in America.
Just the opportunity to know that even as Brian, you said, you know, just you know, holding your own baby. I mean, there comes a point where you just go, you know, this has got to change, and we can be a part of that. We only got a minute or so left. I wonder is there a verse or two that you can sort of keep coming back to, or one that we could just hang on to, maybe commit to memory, that would just help ground us in this direction?
Yeah, our key, that's a great question. I appreciate you asking. Our key verse here at Online for Life is Proverbs 24:10-12, and it says, deliver those who are being taken away to death, and save those staggering to slaughter. Oh, hold them back. Because if you say, surely we did not know this, does he not consider it who weighs your hearts, and does he not know it who keeps your soul, and will he not render to man according to his work? It is really a command and a warning that we know the situation of abortion in America, therefore we are commanded to get active and use grace and compassion and truth in order to end it. And there's also an encouragement in there, because we don't believe God calls us to do something if he really doesn't have a plan to make it successful. And so we believe that verse, as our primary verse here at Online for Life, is a phenomenal verse for anybody to memorize and propel them into action, as only the Word can do, to help us end abortion in America.
Brian Fisher and Jeff Bradford joining us today, talking about the great work at Online for Life and the call that each of us have to stand up with courage and grace. Brian, the co-founder and president of Online for Life. Jeff, vice president of Online for Life. Brian's written several books, including Deliver Us from Abortion. Gentlemen, our time is gone, but it's been a powerful hour, and I just pray God's blessing on you and your ministry in the days to come.
Thanks so much, Neil. We appreciate the time.
Thank you, Neil. God bless.
You can hear a podcast of today's interview or pass it on to a friend by going to the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com.